Some time ago, as it was getting dark, coming out of Birmingham Southern College or North Alabama Conference Center, as I was going through the traffic light about to make a left turn, I noticed a car speeding towards me. He or she was in the left driving lane. I took a double take and looked up. The light was still green for me. I froze, knowing that there wasn't anything I could do, and I waited. There was no way this person would be able to stop on time. So I waited for the inevitable, all of which was happening so fast. Instead of running into me, the driver swerved left, entering the turning lane and narrowly missing my car. I was flooded with ideas like, wow, what a driver. Or that was a near miss. Glad he did not panic. As I started to move, I heard the music on the radio with a song, "My Grace Follows You." I was grateful that I did not get hit. And even more importantly, God's grace follows me, follows us. My name is Richard Lane Stryker, pastor of St. Paul United Methodist Church and associate district superintendent of the Central District North Alabama Conference. I'm glad you can join us for Read Together. Our scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7b through 10. Paul writes, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" For when I am weak, I am strong, Paul says. Throughout the ages, men and women alike have found this weird reversal to be true. When the prophet Elijah fled from Jezebel, he traveled a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under the tree, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord." Elijah was weak, and he prayed that. God allowed him to sleep, and when he woke up, a cake of bread baked over hot coals was waiting for him. God nourished him, giving him the strength that he needed, and over time, for him to return to full and active ministry. Grace in the midst of weakness, a reversal for Elijah. In his greatest moment of weakness, God comes through for him. This reversal is also seen in the prayer of St. Francis. St. Francis prays in the closing line, "For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life." Amen. Jesus, on this reversal in Matthew 16, 25, and it appears in a couple of other scripture passages, synoptic gospels, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it." What a reversal. Because of this reversal of fortunes, Paul can indeed boast, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." The reversal comes because of God's amazing grace. Originally from Liberia, West Africa, I've seen many women carry on their heads banana or oranges in a pan. even vegetables. They would balance that large, quite often large pan, balance it on their head with nothing more than a scarf that had been wrapped neatly in a circle. That neatly wrapped scarf, now in a circle, would sit on their head, and they would put the pan on top of it. Between the head and the pan would rest this little cushion. Perhaps you've seen a picture of quote-unquote market women carrying their load. It amazes me. Ken V. Adams, a Liberian gospel star, sings of the Lord, saying, "You said you will be my God. You will carry my load. You said you will be my God." Grace is God, the market woman, carrying our load, carrying our troubles. Paul writes, "But the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" When a nation finds itself, much like we find ourselves, divided and in need of healing, we turn to God for God's amazing and marvelous grace. God's grace is sufficient not only for individuals, but for nations. God said to the nation of Israel in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I will heal the land." The healing was not automatic. They had to confess in humility. They had to confess their wrongs. And they had to make a commitment to change from the past and to bring on a whole new behavior going forward. He said, "Then I will heal the land." We can claim the promise of grace to heal the land. The United States, like many other nations around the world, is going through trying times. There is urgent need for healing in the land. I believe that God's grace is sufficient for the healing of the nation. There are times when you feel like you are treading water in the midst of pandemic, that is social, economic, and health pandemic, in the midst of lost jobs, downsized jobs, furlough jobs, in the midst of troubles and uncertainties. It's okay to tell God, "I am weak," as Paul would say. Or like Elijah would put it, "I've had enough." We can tell God that. For it is in our weakness that God's strength shines forth. That strength is God's grace. Maybe you find yourself wanting to give up. Mary reminds us and indeed encourages us. "I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy. And I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me." I don't believe that God has brought you this far to leave you. God's grace is sufficient for you. You know, by God's grace, Marley Whitlock was adopted as an infant from Ethiopia. At the age of 9, she's about 12 now, I think. At the age of 9, inspired by the Garden Community United Methodist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, inspired to change the world, she started selling bracelets to raise funds for the Ethiopian school. She raised $2,000. God's grace is sufficient. Recently, I heard and read about Mr. and Mrs. McClung, Lacey and April McClung. They had signed their sons up, one to go to China and another to Europe to try to expand the world. She was so excited, but after a week, they realized that the person that would be required, they just did not have. But when she got home, Lacey called them together and he said to them, "Let's go and pray." You see, Lacey led a small ministry that was meeting in the McClung Pelham home. so prayer was nothing new to them. He said, let's pray about that. And in the foyer, they prayed. And after they left, each one to their own room and everything, he called them back and said, the Lord has given me a plan. What about selling pound cakes? Pound cakes? You see, he had gotten pound cake recipe from his grandmother, Emily Magnolia McClung. And he taught his family how to bake that pound cake. Well, they got into the business of baking the pound cake and selling those. And in 9 months, they were able to raise the money necessary for the boys to go on this educational trip. Today, April has left her job and is even now full-time running an heirloom business called Emily's Pound Cake. But God's grace, from a prayer in the foyer to this amazing thing that had happened to them, God's grace is sufficient. I don't know what you may be going through right now, the challenges in your life or your family's life, but take this from me, from someone who knows about God's amazing grace and how far the Lord has brought me. Someone who believes that God's promise to Paul is God's promise to you, to us. And that promise is, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. God's grace is sufficient for you. Please join me as we pray. Almighty God, we pray that you will bless each of us, hearers of your word. Help us to be people of peace. Help us to be a part of healing the nation, healing our families. And whatever we are going through right now, help us to rely on you, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And most amazingly, the grace of God that comes from you. Amen.